But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who have called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. You see, in this passage that we've read together this morning, we see clearly the doctrine of election. For the doctrine of election is seen clearly in the passage that we've read together. God being pleased to choose a people unto himself, men and women out of mankind, secret, whom by his own counsel that's secret to us, he has decreed to save by Jesus Christ. You see, none are finally saved except those who are thus chosen. As we study the Bible, we are given many names of those who have been chosen to salvation. There was that mighty man of God, Abraham, who was called the friend of God, who staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Or there was Moses, called a man of God. And what do we read of him? He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Or there was the harlot Rahab. God saved her, made her a trophy of grace. And what do we read? She perished not with them that believed not. Or there was Peter, James, and John, the man of Gadara. That man God crossed over the Sea of Galilee, saved him, made him a trophy of grace, and he went out preaching in the capitals. Or there was Lydia, that woman whom the Lord opened her heart. All these people elected to be heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ, and have gone to be with Christ, which is far better. You see, friends of Londonderry, here this morning, we're looking into this passage concerning the doctrine of election, and those people whom God has been pleased to choose and save and change and transform. You see, those men and women whom God has been pleased from all eternity, he calls in time by his Spirit, working in due season. He convinces them of sin. He shows them themselves to themselves, what they really are. He leads to Christ. He works in them those great truths, those truths that are inseparable, those great twin truths that go together, repentance and faith. And friends, we live in a day that there's little or no call to repentance. A gospel, an easy believism gospel. Friend, it's not the gospel. Christ preached repentance toward God and faith in Jesus Christ our Lord. Remember, he came in Mark 1:15, he said Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. So we see the two go together, repentance and faith. And then he converts, renews the will, and sanctifies them. He keeps them by his grace from falling away entirely, and then he brings them safe to glory. You see, those who have received Christ are a highly privileged people. A highly privileged people, because all true Christians make up one family under one head, a people set apart, distinct from the common world. They're of another spirit, principle, practice, which they could never be if they were not thus chosen Christ to be such and sanctified by his Spirit. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who have called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Ye are God's building. Ye are God's building. Firstly, we were chosen not for any good in us. We were chosen not for any good on us, but ye are a chosen generation. It speaks immediately of the grace of God. But ye are a chosen generation, unconditional. You see, friends, God did not choose us because we were a better people than that of other men. He did not choose us because we had something in us better than that of other men. No, rather the opposite. For in our unsaved state, we were in a state of ignorance. We were in a state of absolutely nothing in us whatsoever to contribute to our salvation. Totally depraved, guilty. Friends, we weren't chosen for any good in us. We must make that clear. You see, in our unsaved state, we were not the people of God, but rather we belonged to Satan and to the world. Read Ephesians. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. In Ephesians chapter 2, we read this. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. You see, no good in us whatsoever. Not even an iota. And that word iota, it's the ninth character of the Greek alphabet. And it's such a small character. This is what I'm saying. Not even an iota. We had nothing in us whatsoever. And dear unsaved friend in this meeting here today, that's how it is with you. You have nothing in yourself to contribute to your salvation. You're totally depraved, cut off, and you're in trouble with God. And we call upon you to flee from wrath to come and to flee to Christ, the only way of salvation, for neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name given under heaven, given among men, whereby we must be saved. It's necessary. Christ is the answer. And only Christ. And we say to you to flee from wrath to come and to repent and believe the gospel. But we must get back to the text. A chosen generation. A chosen generation. The Lord did not set his love upon you, says Moses, nor choose you because you were more in number than any people, for you were the fewest of all people. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. Do you see it, friend? God has chosen us purely because of his love and grace. A people chosen of God. A people chosen of God. And truly we can say, like Jonah, salvation is of the Lord. For many be called, but few are chosen. You see, friends, God would have been just to pass us all by and leave us to our own self-determined sinfulness. And pass us all by and leave us to a Christless eternity. But he hasn't. But ye are a chosen generation. And what a blessing it is to be selected among the heirs of destruction. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. We should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. But friends, we must be mindful, for it's scriptural. The Bible teaches it. We must remember that we were once bondmen in the land of Egypt. We were once bondmen in the land of Egypt, and the Lord thy God redeemed thee. And the Lord thy God redeemed thee. A chosen generation. A chosen generation. Do you see it? Ye are God's building. Ye are God's building. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the world, of the earth. You see, we weren't selected because of some worldly wisdom or dignity in us. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 26. Listen, for ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. You see, friends, we're nothings and nobodies. We're unprofitable servants at best. We sang that hymn earlier on, penned by Mary McShane, chosen not for good in me, wakened up from wrath to flee, hidden in the Saviour's side, by the Spirit sanctified, teach me, Lord, on earth to show, by my love, how much I owe. Chosen not for good in us. You're God's building. Such a privilege to be called the sons of God. The true child of God is a highly privileged person. For ye are bought with a price, not with such things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Do you see it, friend? Ye are God's building. You're not your own. None of us are. We who are the people of God, we are built up a spiritual house upon Christ, the living stone, the chief cornerstone. But ye are a chosen generation. I want it to sink in. It's not man's word. It's God's word. Ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. We are at once kings and priests, and holy nation, royal in our relation to him, in our union with him, a peculiar people. It simply means a separated people, called out. That's what a Christian is, called out ones. A peculiar people, purchased by blood, purchased by blood, precious to Christ. We're precious in his eyes, precious because he is precious, precious because he is precious, that ye should show forth the praises of him who have called you out of darkness into his marvellous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. in old times going. But friends, let us look. We weren't chosen for any good in us, but we were chosen to show forth God's praise. We were chosen to show forth God's praise, that ye should show forth the praises of him who have called you out of darkness into his marvellous light. We're a chosen people, called out to be that sounding board, to be that advertisement. You know, friends, the world watch on. Before they will take up the Bible, they will read the people of God. In fact, they won't lift the Bible many a time, but they'll read the people of God. And the world is watching on, and they're seeing our every move and what we do. They will see. And sometimes we wonder why the people don't come into church with us. Well, why would they if we're not showing forth the praises of him who have called us out of darkness into his marvellous light? Peter and John were a testimony. Didn't they say, it was said of them, the people took note that they had been with Jesus. You see, the people knew there was something different about these men. Knew there was something different about them because they were showing forth the praises of him. They were close to the Lord and not close to the things of this world. Those things which will perish. Those things which will fade away. Those things that you can't take with you. See, friends, we're their Bible. Whether at the workplace, whether in the home, amongst our friends, amongst our families, we are their Bible. We are their Bible. Didn't Paul say to the Corinthians, ye are our epistle written on our hearts, known and read of all men? He further went on to say, you're the epistle of Christ. You're the epistle of Christ. It's true, those outside of Christ will read us before they read the Bible. You see, the world is in darkness. The world is in darkness. And the people do not know the excellencies of Christ. But they should see them in our lives. They should see them in our lives. It's true that our lives should radiate the marvellous light into which we have been graciously called. Yet it's true, often our lives do not display holiness, but rather worldliness. Our lives often does not display unity, but rather there's disunity amongst the people of God. You know, the problem with Christianity today is the Christian. The problem with Christianity today is the Christian. Because there's no problem with the foundation. No doubt about it. And as Martin Lloyd-Jones said it, the problem with preaching today is the preacher. And I most certainly do not exclude myself from that statement. The problem with Christianity today is the Christian. that ye should show forth the praises of him who have called you out of darkness into his marvellous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, that we should show forth the praises of him, that we would show forth the praises of him because we should show forth the praises of him. It is our reasonable service. Didn't Paul say it in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, by that which ye have received, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Friends, this is the will of God, even your sanctification. That ye would show forth the praises of him. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who have called you out of darkness into his marvellous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. You know, I was reading in one of the Puritan books, and one of the Puritans had said this, so ties in with what the Lord is showing us. Who made me to differ but thee? For I was no more ready to receive Christ than were others. I could not have begun to love thee hadst thou not first loved me, or been willing unless thou hadst first made me so. We need to get back to the cross. We need to get back to the cross, to the handiwork of God. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? Friends, we owe much. We're bought with a price. Ye are God's building. You're not your own. Dear unsaved friend, you sit in this gathering. You say to yourself, well, if God does the work, I'll just sit back here and do nothing. Friend, you've a responsibility. Repent. repent and believe the gospel. Flee from wrath to come. You maybe say, well, I've seen people, Christians, and they don't really live up to what they profess. Friend, that matters not, because when you come face to face with God, them excuses will not matter. Them people will not be beside you. You need to get right with God. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your heart. No one was ever saved that didn't call upon the Lord. The Bible says, for whomsoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know what Felix, we read in the Bible of Felix, he said, I will call for thee in a more convenient season. We don't read of Felix ever calling upon God. Flee from wrath to come. Escape for thy life. Flee to the Christ of God. Friend, we're glad you're here this morning. But your being here will not save you. Your church attendance will not save you. The minister, the student can't save you. But we simply point you to one who can. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. May the Lord bless all that has been of Himself for His own name's sake.